Greetings, and welcome to Sexy Voices of Hollywood with your hosts, Robert Taylor and...
Yayoi Winfrey.
Every other week on this show, we'll present another Sexy Voice of Hollywood.
This week's guest is Karen Parsons. Besides having a sexy Hollywood voice, Karen is an amazing actress, probably best known for her role as Hilary Banks on television's Fresh Prince. Karen is also the founder of the nonprofit group Sweet Blackberry, dedicated to bringing stories of African Americans children everywhere. You can find out more about Karen and Sweet Blackberry by checking out her link.
Those links will be posted on our YouTube page, Sexy Voices of Hollywood. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure.
So, Karen, you're like 180 degrees opposite of Hilary Banks and Fresh Prince. In fact, I think one of your online handles is "Don't Call Me Hilary."
Yeah, I don't answer to Hilary.
Okay, understood.
Although I will say that my mother has called me Hilary, so I don't hold it against anyone to call me Hilary anymore.
Now, was that on purpose or by accident?
By accident.
Oh,
by accident. My own mother, who only has one child, called me Hilary once, and that was it.
So you know she's a dedicated fan, right? So she was watching all the time, and it just kind of went in her mind, right?
Oh, yeah. She is. I mean, when we taped the show, she was at every taping every Friday.
Wow. That's very supportive. Yeah.
Yes, incredibly supportive.
So was it really that bad playing such a superficial character, being so opposite of yourself?
Oh, bad? No, it's the opposite of that. It's great. I mean, there's nothing better than getting to play all of the things you were, you know, told you weren't supposed to be. You know, you're not supposed to be so self-centered and rude and, you know, all these things, and you get to kind of indulge in a character who has no clue who she is. So it was fun, and I had fun playing the character. I had a great time with the cast.
Did you come up with your own hats and gloves?
No, I wish I could take complete credit for that. I had an amazing wardrobe group of people, and especially Judy Richmond, our wardrobe head stylist. She was just incredible, and she from the very beginning had an idea of Hilary's having lots of hats, and her hats matched her gloves and this whole thing, and we kind of went from there over the years and just played with it, and it was fun because, you know, sometimes it looked great, and sometimes it was just frightening.
Karen, someone in our studio had asked, and forgive us for our ignorance, were you ever able to take any of your wardrobe home with you?
I was, you know, at the end of it, but, you know, it's really crazy. They would fit things to my body. You know, you try things on, and in order to make them look their best, they'd really tailor them a lot of the time, and I had to buy my stuff back.
Really?
Most of the time. Wow. You know, and it was a considerable discount, but myself and everyone at the same time was allowed to kind of, you know, go wild on the closets, on the wardrobe closets at the end of the year. And I always found it really kind of odd that I had the same discount as everybody else when the clothes fitted to my body.
Right.
But they didn't want to give them to me. I mean, you know, I wore them already. That's my butt.
Right. Wow.
Oh, well.
That's funny. Like me, you're biracial with one white and one black parent. What kind of impact did that have on the roles you got?
On the roles? Well, you know, I think in black Hollywood, just now I think people are starting to finally talk about biracial and people being biracial. For so long, everyone just kind of, I don't know, seemed to ignore that or push that under the rug or I don't know what. And it was just about, for me, I was just considered light-skinned. Oh, she's light-skinned. You know, she's high yellow or whatever, all of those things, and whatever connotation. So I think the roles were usually just like the girl, where I think a lot of the time, and especially when I first started acting, I think started to be a little bit not so insane later, but for a while I think there was a kind of a tradition of the more light-skinned girl being the girl, and you'd see the more dark-skinned girl being the friend, and which I think is, for lack of a better term, lightened up a little bit. You know, people have kind of widened their view and are not so narrow and shallow and strange. But I think it probably fell into that that a lot. And unfortunately, with female roles, they're few and far between as it is in terms of anything with any weight to it. So a lot of the times it was the girl anyway, just because they weren't the leads that often.
Interesting.
So did you find it difficult then to get good roles? Or did they know where to place you, like casting directors? What category
put
you in?
I think there were a lot, they knew what they thought. And there were a lot of, it's not like there weren't a lot of other girls who were similar in physical type to myself that were out there, you know, plugging away. And I would see a lot of the same girls at the calls, and we'd go down the wire on parts together all the time. So there was an idea that whether I was very stimulated by the roles that went out, I mean, no, but that's kind of how it was. And eventually, I mean, that wore on me after a while.
Okay. So tell us about your brainchild, Sweet Blackberry. I love that
Sweet
name.
Blackberry. Sweet Blackberry, I started Sweet Blackberry, I guess I was thinking about Sweet Blackberry a long time ago. My mother was a librarian, and she was the head of the Black Resource Center at the library that she worked at in South Central Los Angeles, and she would call me from time to time and say, this is while I was on Fresh Prince, she would call me from time to time and tell me a story about somebody interesting she came across. And one day she called and told me the story of Henry Box Brown, the slave who had mailed himself in a box to his freedom. And I found it to be the most fascinating story. I couldn't believe I had never heard it before. And then I would go on to tell friends, and my friends hadn't heard it before. And I thought, well, this is just the perfect story for kids. It makes no sense we haven't heard this. And this could be a great kind of almost fairy tale for kids. And so I made a lot of notes on it, and then I forgot about it. And then I would do that with other stories. I'd make notes and then forget about it. And then when I was pregnant with my daughter, I started talking a lot about Henry Box Brown and about this project, and my husband, who is an independent filmmaker and doesn't wait for anybody, said, you know, you need to stop talking about this. You know, it's important. You're passionate about it. Get off your butt and do it. And I thought, oh, okay. So I started, didn't know how to do it, but I started making phone calls and talking to people, and was pleased to see how much people wanted to help, try to direct me toward other people that might be able to do something. And that was it. That's how I started the company. And you know, our whole mission at Sweet Blackberry is to bring these stories, like you said, of kind of unsung heroes, people we don't hear as much about, to children at a very young age. And as it is, we hear about a handful of stories pretty much in the school system. And they're the same stories, and they're incredible stories, but the teachers don't have the time and the resources to bring a lot of other stories, more diverse stories, to the kids. And there's so much out there that risks being lost. There's so much out there that the kids can learn from about, you know, about empowerment and self-esteem, and about their value in society, and about their neighbor's value, and about overcoming incredible obstacles. But those obstacles are actually opportunities for greatness. And so that's what I'm trying to do with these stories for kids. And they're animated and fun.
That's
and
powerful.
The stories themselves are all on DVDs that are narrated by somebody then?
Yes, they're lightly animated. They're more like picture books come to life.
Oh, okay.
And Alfre Woodard narrated the story of the journey of Henry Box Brown, which was the first story of that wonderful story that was the impetus for the whole thing. She narrated the first one, and then we did Garrett's Gift, the story of Garrett Morgan, the inventor who invented the traffic signal, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
And Queen Latifah narrated that one for us. And did an amazing job. So we're working on a lot more in the series, and it seems like every day I'm finding a new story.
Oh, good.
That I wanted to do, yeah. It's exciting.
Fun. Yeah.
Given that your mother was a librarian, obviously, education is important to you. In what ways are you active in your children's lives?
Well, you know, part of when I was pregnant with my daughter, my first child, my concern, what made me start talking about or thinking about Henry Box Brown so much and about this Sweet Blackberry venture was that I realized my responsibility as a parent.